one thing that all of us have in common is that we're all busy, because this is December. And in December, you get busy. Shopping, shoveling, decorating, getting ready for guests that are going to show up for Christmas. And isn't it an ironic thing that Christmas is one of those times when you really want to slow down and soak up the meaning of it all? Like, what's the significance of this? This fact that God actually became a human being and came into our world. That's a big deal. But in order to really get it, you have to slow down. But we don't slow down in December. So we just decided that today we would, for an hour, slow down. And maybe what we talk about during this time will help you to move a little slower through the month and to get the most out of this Christmas season that you can. We have our kids in here with us today because we didn't have quite as much space for them because of other events that were going on in the building. And so what we're going to try to do is just walk through different seasons of our life. We're going to have four different speakers or sets of speakers address first children, then teens, then parents who are raising kids, and then grandparents. And so our hope is that whatever your stage of life, whatever your age, you will find something today that will be practical, that will help you to make the most of this Christmas season. So we're going to start with the kids. So if you are normally in building blocks or living links, you're up through about third grade, go ahead and just stand up and come right up here and sit on the floor right in front of this stage, okay?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kim Vine. I'm the Children's Ministry Director at White Pine Church, and I am here to talk about how exciting it is to be a kid at Christmas time, right? How many days left until Christmas? Excellent. Hours? Do you know how many hours? How many minutes? Something like that. It's coming. It's coming. What do you think? 125 minutes. See, when I was a kid, I was totally aware the entire month, actually the entire year probably, of just how far away it was until Christmas. And sometimes it felt like it was never going to come, right? Especially around January when I started counting down to Christmas. So I would wait and I would wait and I would wait. And then it would be December 1st. And the Advent calendars would be out, and there'd be little chocolates, 24 chocolates for each day, and the decorations would be out, and just like that, it was Christmas. And hooray, Christmas, then I could really do the countdown, right? But there was this one part about this Christmas season that was a little stressful. It was kind of a problem, because right around December 1st, I started to really worry about whether or not I was going to be on the naughty or nice list. And this can be really stressful, right? Because I was normally a pretty good kid, don't ask my brother, but I was normally a pretty good kid. But right around Christmas time, Mom and Dad started reminding me, Santa's watching your every move. You got to be on the nice list, right? So I became as perfect as could be, except in the bathroom, because I would run my toothbrush under the faucet, and I would squirt just a little bit of toothpaste on the counter to make it look like I'd brushed my teeth. And that was totally fine, because everybody knows Santa doesn't watch you when you're in the bathroom. So it's fine, right? Other than that, I went to bed on time, I ate all my vegetables, I was nicer to my brother, right? I was pretty much the perfect child, okay? But that is really stressful. It's exhausting. Is it exhausting to be nice all the time? And sometimes when I saw kids who were crying when their parents took them to see Santa, I thought, oh, maybe it's because they're afraid Santa's going to tell them how naughty they've been. Because Santa knows and their parents don't, so maybe he's going to tell on them. It was really, really hard. And the truth is, I probably wasn't really perfect, because I remember one year my friend got the best part in the Christmas pageant, and I was way in the back, and I couldn't be happy for her. I couldn't bring it to myself to be happy for her. And another year, I didn't do well in a spelling test, because I was playing Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong, yeah, that's how Mario started, it was Donkey Kong. And no one's perfect, that's exactly right. But see, that's how the naughty and nice list works. Is God? Santa says that if you are naughty, you're on the naughty list. And so I couldn't figure out, how does that work? Like, is it just one thing that you do and then you're naughty? because I knew plenty of naughty kids, right? We all know somebody who is definitely on the naughty list, and yet they get great stuff for Christmas. So it was really hard to figure out how this works. And the other thing is, come December 26th, and I think parents know where I'm going with this, once I had my presents, all bets were off, right? I had like 10 and a half months before I had to start being nice again. So that seemed kind of weird. And the thing is that even the years that I did do those couple things, like lying about brushing my teeth even, I still got a gift. I got a pretty good gift. So how was this working? How does the naughty and nice list work? I would love to talk to Santa about this, because how nice is nice enough? How naughty is naughty enough? At what point does Santa say, nope, too naughty? At what point does he say, okay, all right, you got there, you got on the nice list? And what I want to share with all of you is something that I learned probably a little too late in life, and so I would love for you to learn it earlier than I did, and that is that Santa could say, you're naughty. You did one naughty thing, you're done. But he chooses not to, and that's because he loves to give us gifts. He delights in that. He wants you to have those gifts. And so he uses this thing called grace. And grace simply means that we get it even though we don't deserve it. It's kind of like it fills in the gap between not nice enough and perfect. It's not luck. That's what's awesome. It's not luck. Santa figured it out. And there's somebody else who comes out around this time of year who is just as loving and just as awesome and uses grace. Elf on the Shelf. Not the Elf on a Shelf. That is awesome, though. That is awesome. The Elf on the Shelf reports to Santa. Yeah. Love it. This is someone who's actually, when you think about it, he's out all year. It's not just the day after Thanksgiving, although let's be honest, day after Halloween now. And he does even more amazing things than making reindeer fly and interrupting the time-space continuum so that he can visit every house and go down chimneys with things like American Girl dolls and snowboards in his pack, right? And the place where he lives is super amazing, more amazing than the North Pole, and he wants us to go live there with him someday. We actually are going to get to live there someday. So who am I talking about? You go ahead and say it.
God.
Yes, we're talking about God. A lot of people kind of think of God as having a naughty and nice list. Like, you're only going to get to be in heaven if you're on the nice list. And if you're naughty, then you don't get to be in heaven. But this is where grace comes in. And there's a verse that I want to share with you guys. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. That's from Ephesians 2:8. Do you see the word grace? So God uses grace too, only unlike Santa, it's not about giving us a present under the tree. It's a present way better than anything you'd find in your stocking or get at the mall. This gift is getting to be with him forever in heaven. You got to see him. And so that's what we call, when we say being saved, that's what we mean. That's the gift, is we get to go to heaven. So that is this gift that God is talking about, and grace is what gets us there. And then the part about how you can't take credit for it, you see, when you think about all the really good stuff that you did, you're going to feel pretty good about yourself, aren't you? And that's good. You should feel good when you make good choices, but you might start getting really full of yourself, like, I am so good, I am so nice. But it works the other way, too, because when you start doing naughty stuff, you start feeling really, really bad, like you didn't try hard enough, right? God takes care of all of that. This is all him. He figured it out. He made it work. He fills in the gap between not nice enough and perfectly nice. That's what he did. Now, imagine, let's talk just a little bit more about the gift. All the presents you're going to get this year, Barbie dolls, Legos, robot warrior dinosaurs, anything else that's in the Toys R Us catalog that you made sure you got to the mailbox and saw first, all of that stuff, someday it's going to break. Someday it might even just get boring. But the gift that God has to give us is forever, forever. And it's so great, our little brains can't even fathom it. Now imagine if on Christmas morning, there was this great gift for you under the tree, and it had your name on it, and you left it there. You didn't even, oh, I know. How could that even be possible? Like, you forget to open the gift? You just chose not to open it? When we say that we accept the gift from God, it's like opening the gift. And the way we open the gift is we believe. So wouldn't that be awful if there was a gift that someone really, really wanted to give you and you never even opened it? When we choose to not accept this gift from God, when we choose not to believe it, we're saying we don't want to open it. So don't do that. Open your present. And what's great is that you don't have to wait until Christmas to open this gift. You could open it today. You could open it right now. And that gift would last you all the way through, and it would help give you an even more amazing Christmas than anything you even thought of. So part of how we open that gift is we say a little prayer. Do you guys think that you could pray alongside with me? Anybody else can pray this too. Father, we thank you so much that you want to give us this gift, that you found a way called grace to get us this gift. And right now, we want to open it by believing in you and believing in what Jesus did for us. Thank you, God, for all you've done. We are yours, and we thank you for this morning. Amen. Now, for some of you right here, I'm suspecting that the only thing that you heard me say was that I ran my toothbrush under the sink and put some toothpaste on the counter to make it look like I didn't brush my teeth. That's not okay. Don't do that. All right? Let's go back to our seats, everybody. Have a great Christmas.
Don't you know each cloud contains banners from heaven?
Hello.
You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be shining your umbrella. It's upside down. And trading for a package of sunshine and ravioli.
Macaroni.
If you want the things you love.
You did it! Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you. Hi.
Come over here, boy. Sam. And every time it rains. And don't you know it's crocodile? Every time it rains. And don't you know it's crocodile?
Sam.
Your fortune falling.
Sam.
All over town, all over town, all over town. It's not your umbrella. It's upside down, we live up. Well, how about the hills of white?
Here is a Christmas photo of my family when I was growing up, while I was growing up. I'm there on the far left, right next to my 10 siblings. My lack of a large smile was not because I wasn't happy. No, being the eighth child in any family, you're always wondering, is that camera really going to get me in the shot? I've always loved Christmas, but to be honest, my favorite part of Christmas as a teenager wasn't the tree and the lights. It wasn't the food or the desserts. It wasn't even family and friends, even though I liked and loved them a lot. The best part of Christmas was the 2 weeks of mental hibernation with no school, no homework, or thinking. A total mental shutdown. Christmas break is not necessarily where dreams come true, but they do continue past the normal death of 6 a.m. and reaching into 9 or 10 a.m. for those who are skilled and fortunate. What I would look forward to was a break from the busyness of my crazy schedule and just to have some time to relax and have fun. The problem with my mindset, though, was that I would forget that the reason for the whole celebration was not about me. It was to focus on celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's sad that we people seem to always be too busy for Jesus. Even at his birth, it is said that Mary wrapped Jesus in clothes and laid him in a manger, a cow feeding trough. because there was no room for him in the inn. The people in Bethlehem had too much going on. They had too many guests and visitors. They probably felt bad, but they simply couldn't fit him in. Whether we're talking about people 2014 years ago or people in 2014, the scenario tends to always be the same. Come Christmas time, life happens. You know, we go out and cut down the perfect little Christmas tree. We spend the whole day decorating while listening to Christmas music. We make sure that we get our shopping done. And for those of us who procrastinate, we run to L.L. Bean last minute for the people we forget. We plan and cook all the food. We get up early and have a quick family time before we rush to the parents and the grandparents. And then when it's all said and done, we simply don't have time for Jesus. In Revelations 3:20, Jesus says to people he loves, to Christians, he says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. Anyone who opens the door, and I will come in and eat with them, and he with me." The one thing Jesus wants this Christmas season is for us to include him in our celebration. And more importantly, include him in our lives. There are a lot of ways to improve in this area, but my challenge to myself and to you, if you want to join me, is to right now, where you're at, commit to spending at least 5 minutes a day, just 5 minutes a day, totally alone with Jesus, with nobody else in the room, without your computer or your phone, reading something about him in the Bible. Maybe you want to read the story of his birth in Luke chapter 2. How about spending part of that 5 minutes just sitting quietly, asking him if he wants to tell you something, or if he wants you to do something. Make sure you wish him a happy birthday this Christmas. And thank him for everything he's done for you, including paying for your sins by dying on the cross. Let's remember to include Jesus in our Christmas celebration this December.
It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. Say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day. And then the true meaning of Christmas came through, and the Grinch found the strength of 10 Grinches plus 2.
Good morning. I'm Matt Owen, and this is my wife, Margot Owen. And we've been asked to share with you some of our fonder Christmas memories. And as we thought about it, we actually have a lot of really great Christmas memories. We've moved around a lot, so geographically. So we've had really very different Christmases. But as we thought about it, we said, well, what made Christmas meaningful as we look over the past 20 years of our marriage and even before that? And we found that celebrating Jesus' arrival, as we all know, as we've actually already mentioned, it sneaks up on us. Christmas can kind of, and all the busyness, just appear. And what's made Christmas meaningful in the past has actually been something fairly simple. Fairly simple is, and it's a celebration of something called Advent. Now, some of you may be very familiar with Advent. Some of you maybe have never heard of it before. But it goes back a long time, and it's simply a time of preparation and getting ready for Jesus' birth. And I could summarize it, but someone has done a much better job than me. Now, let me just read this. Advent gets its name from the Latin Adventus, which means arrival or coming. However, it is not simply a season that anticipates the arrival of the helpless babe, but Advent is a time to prepare for the coming of the sovereign King. Advent is a time for each of us to stop and look, a time to look inward for the places the King wants to reorder our lives.
Thanks. So one of the ways that Matt and I and our family mark Advent, and one of the ways we've done this even before we had kids, and actually this is something that everybody can do, you can do this by yourself, is that we've used an Advent wreath. Now, you can find beautiful Advent wreaths, if you can see this one up here with the different colored candles, or you can have a simple homemade-y looking one, or you can just have five different candles on your table. It's helped us to slow down and acknowledge that Jesus is the reason that we celebrate Christmas, and it helps us prepare for Christmas as opposed to scrambling, shopping, and then having it be December 24th. Not only is it a great way for us to be together and to focus on Jesus, but it's also a great way to have open flame on your table, and kids like that. So how do you do this? So you can buy one, you can make one. Again, it could be makeshift, it could be one candle. There's no rules. Different churches have different traditions. And how do you use it? So pick a time that works where most of your family can be there. If you've got teenagers, chances are you'll be missing one or two. For us, dinner is the best time, but it might be breakfast. It might be right after school. And then you choose who's going to light the candle. It could be you. You could take turns, have the kids take turns. You could have a schedule. You could let them fight for it. And what you do is you light the first candle on the first Sunday of Advent, which is oftentimes in November, still, the last week of November. So today, you would have this first candle lit because Advent began last Sunday, and then you would also light the second candle. Throughout the month, then, you're just lighting one candle for the first week, two candles for the second week, three candles for the third week, four, and on Christmas Day, you get to light the Christ candle in the center. So what do we do when it's not just about candles? You light a candle and you read a devotion together as a family. And there are many resources out there. You can get them online. Some people will just read scripture from Luke, as Josh was saying. Read the Christmas story. Every night a kid can read it. If they're too little, you can have a picture book that they could tell the Christmas story with, or you can read it to them. Another option would also be sing a Christmas carol together that tells of Christ's birth. So this is something that we've used, and we've found it very meaningful for us. As life gets busier and busier, it's a way for us to slow down and remember what's important and why we're celebrating Jesus' birth.
Now, today's the second Sunday of Advent, so some of you are probably thinking, oh, great, I'll do it next year. Well, you know, Advent is like a diet, right? If you put it off to some time in the future, you're not going to do it. So I would encourage you, if you're not at all interested, just jump right in. We're in the middle of it, that's fine. And then consider yourself really well prepared for next year. We have one resource we can point you to, and it's called christianbook.com. I think many of you, it's probably the biggest Christian book distributor online. Just go there and search for Advent, and you will literally choke on all the resources that are there. You can get Advent calendars, Advent wreaths, and many, many good Advent devotionals. And once again, Advent has a form, but it also allows you to do it the way you want to do it as a family, or as a couple, or even or individually. So once again, Advent really has caused us to focus on Christ's birth, and even less so on Christmas, but really on Christ's birth. And it actually takes a little bit of the pressure out of Christmas, because we've been intentional for 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. So let us wish you a happy Advent and a soon happy Christmas. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. I have this great memory of a Christmas when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I spent that Christmas with my aunt and uncle and my cousins, and I have this one picture from that Christmas with my cousin Tracy. And what I remember about that Christmas is her chasing me around with holly, like trying to hold it over my head. That's what I remember. That's like the big thing that I remember about that Christmas. And those kinds of memories at Christmas time, they just kind of come flooding back into our minds. And it's euphoric, you know, and you just remember things so vividly. It's the sounds, it's the smells, it's the Christmas decorations and all of it. And yet, in contrast to those memories, oftentimes, in the midst of the celebrating and in the midst of the joy, so many people are left feeling very alone at Christmas time and more aware of how lonely they feel at Christmas time. 27% of Americans live alone. And, you know, so I just want to take a minute this morning and speak to folks who are experiencing that today, because that's a part of our group here this morning. And just to say in the midst of all of that, that you are not alone, that God loves you so much. And, you know, David cried out to God in Psalm 25, and he said, "Turn to me, God, and have mercy, because I am lonely and hurting." You know, and God really cares about people who are hurting in that way. And later in Psalm 127, David says that God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And so remember that the reason for Christmas is you. You are the purpose of this celebration. God so loved you that he gave his son. And so this Christmas, when you feel alone, remember that you belong to God. You belong to us. You belong to us as a church family. We belong to each other. And you are loved. I think I passed you on a busy sidewalk last night. I think I caught the sadness in your eyes. While everybody sings their happy Christmas songs tonight, all you want to do is cry. Christmas lights and decorations everywhere you turn, but all you feel inside is dark and gray. There may be joy, but everywhere, but there's no joy for you. Hold on, love is looking for a way. Hold on, I believe it's why love came. So I'm sending you this Christmas card to let you know somebody loves you. And I'm singing you this little song to let you know somebody cares. And I'm thinking as we celebrate how love came down, so every lost and lonely broken heart can get found. And wherever you are, I hope this Christmas card finds you and reminds you you are loved. For everyone who's been left standing on the outside looking in, everyone with dreams that never will come true, when the story of your life gets rewritten overnight, well, it's all part of the Christmas story too. And I believe God, he's right here with you. So I'm sending you this Christmas card to let you know somebody loves you.
And I'm singing you this little song to let you know you're not alone. And I'm thinking as we celebrate how love came down, so every lost and lonely broken heart can get found. And wherever you are, I hope this Christmas card finds you and reminds you you are loved. You're never forgotten. The God who made you came down to this world to let us know that He's right here with us. God is with us, and He really wants to let you know just how much He loves you. So I'm singing you this Christmas song to let you know you're not alone. And I'm thinking as we celebrate our love came down, so every lost and lonely broken heart could get found. And wherever you are, I hope this Christmas card finds you and reminds you you are loved.
Good morning. My name is Randy Reynolds. I'm one of the teaching elders here, White Pine Community Church, if you're a visitor. And behind me are, kind of dimly lit, are my, is my Christmas wreath. That's my five grandchildren. And I've been sent up here to represent the old people. So I brought my glasses, and so I can read my notes. I forgot them. So these are all the, these are all the things of being older. Greg asked me to share from a grandparent's perspective about Christmas and memories. And it was funny. I discovered some things this week thinking about it. I discovered how short my memory was. Sally and I have been able to celebrate 43 Christmases together. And wow, a lot of memories. Scabby little Christmas trees when we were younger, didn't have any money. They were really those days. Trips, driving home in snowstorms with the kids from Massachusetts or New Hampshire, breaking down in cars in the worst of weather in Maine, crazy Christmas mornings. Kids not wanting to go to sleep at night, getting up at 4 in the morning, running out in the living room wanting to open presents. Just a bundle of memories, just too many to remember. And then the grandkids started coming. I don't know how that happened. Having 4 of my own, you think I'd figure that out, but I never. It's amazing. But they're here, and things change, you know. They move on, and those gatherings, every bed in the house full, Christmas Eve. Now they start their own family, and they're away. You all suffer with this, don't you? 2 Thanksgivings, 2 Christmases, moving the schedule around. We get to open presents this year at our house. Next year, we got to wait. That's life in America, and that's what we're in the middle of. When we were younger, it's funny, the other family, I brought this one. And it's not that hard. I put this together, and it's not. That's me, and I'm not creative. Thank you for the compliment. This is an Advent wreath, and we used to do this as a family, and we did it weekly. Every week you read a scripture, you know, you start out with a prophecy and then you go through the angels and then you go through Bethlehem and then you go through the shepherds and then you do the Christ candle and you read scriptures with them. And we did that, but you know, all of a sudden we're grandparents and they're not here anymore. they're in Lovell and Yarmouth and Scarborough, and we're home. And so Sally and I, we sit together alone in the evening and read the Advent. Every night for the 24 days before Christmas, we do a devotional sitting at our bar, and we miss the kids, but they're now on their own. We're looking forward to them coming back, and they won't all be there on Christmas Eve because they've got their own little thing going on. So what do grandparents mean? What do they do? Well, there's something I wanted to remind you all of this morning. God has no grandchildren. Do you know what that means? That means that every person who begins to intellectually understand this whole meaning of Christmas that we've been talking about this morning, that they explain to them, that they understand the gift that God gave so many years ago, the gift of a child born of a virgin, born miraculously, that no one can deny. The child who grew up became a minister of the gospel, a Messiah, a Savior, who walked among us, who raised the dead and gave sight to the blind and allowed the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. These are undeniable. Miracle after miracle, he showed who he was. And our responsibility is to make sure that these kids know that. They know the meaning of Christmas. And there is nothing wrong. I am one of the biggest celebrators. Are you kidding me? My wife starts asking me what I want for Christmas in September. So I'm all about that. But I'm more about that. That those kids understand who Jesus was and what he did. The true meaning of Christmas. That they understand the gift that was talked about. The gift of eternal life, of love and grace that only God can provide. We look for so many answers today in games and vices and things we can buy, and they all run out. We want to make sure that those kids understand what Christmas is about, and most important of all, that they accept that gift. As a grandparent, you need to know more than anybody that God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And those children become children by believing, just like Kim talked about earlier. I don't know how you do that. It's very difficult. Grandparents lose connection with their kids. They really do. So how do you make it work? You be all the love that you can be for them. And you don't be afraid, and you don't be remiss about talking about what God means. They will listen to you. You know why? Because you're their grandparent. They love grandparents. Are you kidding me? Grandparents are wonderful. That's one thing I've learned. I'm not wonderful, but something really cool about a grandparent, I can tell you that. It's like looking at you and they think you're really something special, probably because all you give them is hugs, kisses, loves, candy kisses, and gifts. And you never discipline them. You know those jokes I've learned? I've been a grandparent now for 16 years. They're real. I know why those jokes, because they're real. You know, you spoil the kids and you send them home. If they do naughty things, you blame it on your kids. It's their fault. See? They act just like you did. It's wonderful being a grandparent. I love it. What I want you to know is that God loves those kids more than you do. That's an amazing belief. How could they possibly? But they do. When I was little, I didn't have a grandparent. Never knew what it was. I didn't know how to be a grandparent. I don't even know if I'm a good grandparent. I think I am. I hope I am. I hope they know I love them. And I hope I have the courage to tell them about who loves them, and that's God. I have a little prayer this morning that I wanted to give to encourage you. If you're a grandparent or a great-grandparent, and you can, would you stand with me? Would you stand up if you are a grandparent? Stay standing. Sons, daughters, granddaughters, and grandparents, these people love you very much. Let's have a prayer together as we stand for our kids. Pray with me. God, you have blessed me indeed, as the child I loved has had a child that I can love again. I pray in your mercy that you watch over and protect my grandchildren as you have always done for me. May their lives be long and healthy. May they have the courage to follow their dreams. And should the day come when I am no longer on earth with them, may they look back upon me with fond memories, and may they never forget that they will always be in my heart and loved deeply by me. In Jesus' name, Merry Christmas.